Hi, this is Doc Emmerich. You found the right place if you're a Penguins fan, the Pens Nation Radio Show. Just stay right here.
Well, if Sidney Crosby being in wasn't exciting enough news for Pens fans, getting Chris Letang back, or possibly getting Chris Letang back, has got to be something that gets you excited. For the first time since Letang was concussed by Max Pacioretty, because that was even before Crosby went out against the Bruins. But really, this is only the sixth time that the Penguins have boasted a healthy roster with Chris Letang, Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, Jordan Staal, all in the same lineup in the last 2 years. And it could be tomorrow night versus New York Rangers, which is a big game, even without all of those things going on above Madison Square Garden. I'm Ken Will, joined by Nick Richter and Joe Depto. How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing great.
Yeah, we're good, Ken. How are you?
We're good.
We're awesome.
Wow. Well, I get the impression that that's not true and you're just being sarcastic, or you're just mocking me, but whatever, that none of that matters. The only person I really care about right now is our guest, who is a writer and contributor for Puck Daddy on Yahoo. Please welcome Sean Leahy.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Thanks for joining us. Thanks for coming on. And I got to say, like, I know we're all pretty excited about things. What's your background for people who don't know? What's your background in hockey? And we know you're a national writer with Puck Daddy, but, you know, how did you get into the sport?
How I got into the sport? Well, I have two older brothers I grew up on Long Island, still live here. And two older brothers that, you know, they love hockey and got into it by, you know, obviously playing and watching the game. Luckily here in New York, we get the three teams in the area. So there's obviously always a lot of hockey on all the time. And there has been for many years. So, I got into there and, you know, obviously attend as many, you know, when I was growing up, a lot of Islander games, cause I live about 15 minutes away from the rink and about an hour from MSG by train. So it's not too bad. So, I got a chance to go to a lot of games growing up. And, you know, now that I'm able to go a little bit more often and get to actually cover these games, it's been a lot of fun.
Well, you kind of started off with the Going Five Hole blog, and you started on Blogspot, and you ended up at Yahoo Sports. That's it's an awesome jump there. Kind of talk a little bit about that transition.
Yeah, I had just when I got out of college, my buddy and I did our regular sports blog about everything. And then he was getting married, and he was also getting going for his master's degree, and I kind of took the reins. I started writing more and more about hockey, so then I wound up starting up my own hockey blog, which is Going Five Hole. And then about 6 months after I started was kind of about the time Yahoo was really starting to rev up all of their different sports blogs. And they'd already recruited Greg Wyshynski, who's the editor of Puck Daddy, to kind of, you know, man the helm there over there. And at the time, he was doing the NHL closer on Deadspin while Yahoo was getting everything up and going. And so he was looking for number two. You know, he liked my stuff. He read my stuff on a regular basis. So we just finally got to talking, and he asked if I wanted to come on board, actually April of 2008, so almost 4 years now since we started. We started the first round of the playoffs in 2008, so 4 years later, I've been doing it ever since, and I got to tell you, like I said, it's a lot of fun to be able to, you know, write about a sport you grew up loving and playing, so it's really cool.
Sean, Puck Daddy is one of the most, you know, widely read and widely respected hockey blogs, and for good reason. It's great stuff. On a daily basis, I'm sure that, you know, since you've been a part of it, that you've been able to, you know, be at a lot of games and do a lot of events and meet a lot of players and people involved in you know, everything NHL. What is probably your favorite memory since you've been a part of it?
You know, yeah, like you said, I've been lucky, fortunate to cover a couple of drafts and All-Star games, but probably my favorite story and favorite thing I was a part of was, you guys might know because he's a Penguins fan, was the story of Eric Naughton. He's a Penguins fan, lives out in L.A. He was diagnosed with cancer when he was 38, 39 years old. And at that time, he told himself, you know, I'm going to beat this. And he kind of put things in perspective, and he told himself, you know, when I get through this, I want to learn how to play ice hockey and ice skate. So he wound up, you know, beating the cancer, which is great. And on his 40th birthday, he took his first skate on a rink. And his goal when he started that was he wanted to take part in Penguins Fantasy Camp that they do every year with Mario Lemieux and you know, all the older guys. And he works in the film industry. And so he decided to sort of do a documentary about it, about kind of him learning how to play hockey as well as talking about his cancer battle. And he was going to sell DVDs and contribute the money to the Mario Lemieux Foundation. So two summers ago, I just putzing around on YouTube one night, and I came across this trailer, and I thought it was really interesting. I reached out to him, talked to him, and he told me a story. I wrote it up, and then I wound up actually passing it along to someone I know at the Penn Stewart Club and say, hey, I think this would be a great story for you guys to follow up on. He's a Penguins fan. It's a good story. I got a call back the next day or 2 days later from Tom McMillan, who's their VP of Communications. He read the story, and he said he loved it, and they were actually going to call up Eric, invite him out to the fantasy camp, which was at this time, this was like August when I threw up the story. The camp was in, I think, February, March of last year. And they gave him a free ride, a free entry into the camp. And then he wound up actually being in Pittsburgh last Christmas or so. And they told him they were giving him a tour of console. And as they walked into the locker room, Dan Bosman was giving him a tour. While he walked into the locker room, there's Ray Shiro ready to give him a jersey with his name on it. And so just kind of, and the Penguins did a couple of videos about him. I know he was interviewed, Potash did an interview with him once, and he wound up going to the camp. He had a great time. And just kind of see how that story really affected this guy's life, because he was just going to put out a simple documentary about his story, and he got a chance to actually go to fantasy camp, meet all these players, meet Bosman, meet Shiro, you'll get a good tour of console. So that's probably my favorite story, I think, that I've written, just to see, the outcome. And Eric, these days, I talk to him every once in a while through Facebook, and he's doing great. And actually, his documentary, I think, should be out, I think, sometime around October.
Yeah, it's it really is a great story. And if you're not familiar with Eric's story, check out Life, Cancer, and the Pursuit of Hockey, I believe is what he's calling calling that. I know he was on Facebook. I know he's got a website set up for it. And it is great to see the way that the Penguins reached out to Eric and through you, John. And in his own perseverance, that was a big thing about him through his illness, was the sport and was the game. So it's pretty cool to see. Now, talking a little bit about this NHL season, starting in the Eastern Conference, there's been lots of strong teams all through the year, really tough competition. Some are really starting to show some different character, like the Boston Bruins. We know what's going on with their defense and things like that right now. But when you look at it today on March 14th, what teams stand out to you as being either the strongest, if not necessarily the favorites to go into the Cup Finals, but the strongest teams on this date going about 1 month out from the playoffs?
Yeah, I think, too, right now, the way things are going with about 13, 14 games left in every team's season, I'd say the Penguins and the Devils. Obviously, the Penguins have been playing great of late, and they're getting this kid named Crosby back or some third-line center, I think, tomorrow night, some plugger.
Yeah, really.
But they obviously have been playing. Yeah, they're getting him back, and obviously that's going to be a boost if he could come back kind of like when he came back early in the season with a good start in it. And Jersey's was playing consistently well over the year. Ilya Kovalchuk is really kind of playing himself into that MVP race of late. Marty Brodeur seems like he's rejuvenated. They're getting great play out of Adam Henrik, who's going to be a Calder finalist most likely. And it seems like you look at their team, and there's a lot of talk about Zach Parise heading into the season about what his future is. And as great as a player he is, he's kind of on the back burner on that team when you talk about their impact players. And he's having a great season, but don't get me wrong. Just obviously all the attention's been on Henrik and Marty and Kovalchuk. So they're really meshed in. And when Travis Ajak's healthy, they're going to be even better. So they're definitely a team to watch to me, along with the Pens.
Yeah, and no surprise if those teams are from the division. I think another if you throw a team in there, when I look at it, I mean the Rangers have been consistent all year. I think they're showing a little bit of weaknesses as of late, but still, that's a team you have to talk about. You know, there's a reason they've been in first place for the majority of the season, and they are still there. But the Southeast Division, I'm not sure. Are any of these teams going to win four games period from here to the end of the season, let alone going into the playoffs?
Yeah, I don't know. I wrote a post over the weekend that nobody wants to win the Southeast Division. And I didn't mean that as it's a terrible division because, well, it is. But, I mean, every time a team has a chance to really kind of take a grasp of that division, like the Panthers or the Jets or this, the I don't know, the Capitals are playing better of late. But it seems like these teams are losing these games where they kind of need to win to kind of separate themselves. And it's going to be a race. I mean, the Caps are in that 8th spot right now, but Buffalo is right behind them. They're playing well. You know, the Jets are a few more points back, and Tampa Bay is playing okay as well. So I don't know. The way things are going, the Southeast, I don't know if they're going four games combined, you know, combine the regular season as well as the first round of the playoffs, the way things are going. Especially with the matchup, if you're that 3 seed, you know, you could get the Pens, you could get the Flyers, you could get the Senators, you could get the Devils, and, you know, all those teams are playing pretty well today. So, you know, getting that 3rd seed may not be the best thing despite getting the home ice.
So at the end of the day, just give us your hunch. Who's coming out of the East?
Man, I'd say the Rangers, but it's so hard to predict. It's so hard to predict the Penguins because you don't know how Sid's going to be. If Sid's back, like we know Sid, then it's hard to pick against the Pens. But the reason I like the Rangers, like you said before, they've been consistent all season, and I just love Henrik Lundqvist. I love Marc-Andre Fleury, but Henrik Lundqvist has just been – he's really been their MVP. I wrote something a few weeks ago why I think he should definitely be one of the finalists for the Hart Trophy along with Gino and maybe a 3rd person like Ilya Kovalchuk. But they've been consistently well. They're a little hiccup here, you know, the last little while, and that's why tomorrow night is going to be such a big game for both teams. The Pens can, you know, the Penguins have a game in hand, the Rangers, so Pens are going to win tomorrow. There'll be 4 points within the number one team in the East, and I just think a guy like Lundqvist, he could really, they may not be as offensively gifted as the Pens, but a guy like Lundqvist could really kind of carry that team through the playoffs in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, and we've seen that multiple times over the years with Tampa Bay last year, just riding a hot goalie and how beneficial that is to a team. You might not be able to score the most goals like the Rangers, but if you have a guy that's keeping a puck out of the net and a defense that's just shutting the opponent's top lines down, it's a really hard thing to do to win in the playoffs, and that could totally happen. Lundqvist, total MVP candidate right there. He's in my top 4. I don't know if I have him as number 1 or 2. Definitely in the 3 or 4 spot. For me, it's either Malkin, Stamkos. I could see the argument for Kovalchuk, but I don't think his body of work over the entire season has really kind of launched him up into that kind of stratosphere for the main considerations. But I think you do need to throw him in that argument. And I think Stamkos, with how he's played since December on, I don't think there's a player in the league playing better than Steven Stamkos right now. But Sean, let's talk about the East a little bit, like this, especially the Atlantic Division. How tough is it to come out of that division? It's basically playoff hockey all year, isn't it?
Geez, I mean, how good has the Atlantic Division been for a long time? You could really call it the best division in hockey. I mean, the Islanders have always kind of been the outsiders the last few years, but, you know, they're slowly getting better. And, you know, next year, if they fix some things, I mean, there's a good chance that all 5 Atlantic Division teams could be in the top 8, or at least, you know, if the Islanders are better, actually be legitimately in the race come late March next season. But, yeah, it's tough. I mean, the teams just get better and better every year. The Rangers got better. The Penguins, obviously, got better. The Flyers reloaded, bringing in Rizgalov. He's playing great as well. You know, the Devils are always a consistent good team coming out of the Atlantic. So it would have been interesting to see if this realignment ever goes through and they go back to the divisional play in the playoffs. I mean, the team's going to be killing themselves in those first 2 rounds just to get to the conference semifinals if that ever goes through.
Now, we do want to talk a little bit about tomorrow night's game, but first, let's get a quick listen to what Chris Letang had to say about his status tomorrow night.
Well, sir.
Hello.
I guess the big question is, how are you feeling, and what's the update? Will you play on Thursday?
I feel pretty good. I had a good practice. I stepped on earlier, and everything went well. So we'll go from there, and we'll see how I feel after morning skate.
Have they actually come out and said what your injury is, or have you, or?
A lot of people ask if it was a concussion. At the beginning, we just said no. Obviously, I had a few symptoms that after the hit, I had some symptoms. And compared to the first one, it's not like if I waited after 3 days and I had bad symptoms, I was sick and stuff like that. So we were just being really careful, and we were waiting for those symptoms to go away.
So what will it be, a case of how you feel tomorrow, or is it a game time decision, or what goes on now?
Like I said, I felt pretty good today. If I feel great tomorrow morning, we have to take a decision with the coach and the staff.
Chris, do you take into account, this is a pretty important stretch here, 3 games in 4 days coming up, do you take that into account at all when you look about coming back?
No, not really. I'm just thinking about my own safety. I don't want to step out there and be someone in danger or anything like that. We were clear. We don't want to rush anyone for coming back from those type of injuries. But obviously, it's a nice 3-game stretch, and they're really important.
Is it a luxury for you to how well the team has been playing over the last few games, where you feel there is no need to rush it?
Yeah, obviously, the team is playing well, and it's always been while we had injuries. Gino went down, we were playing well. Sid went down, we were playing well. I went down, guys are still playing really well. So, guys are doing an unbelievable job right now, so don't need to rush anything.
Chris, you mentioned these 3 games coming up, they're all division games. This division just seems like it's such a good division. They've got a lot of top spots in the conference. Is this the best division in hockey, and does it set you up well if you can play these games now, set you up well for playing in the playoffs?
I would say in the East, it's pretty hard to get through our division. Jersey has always been a tough team to play against, and New York and Philly are a big rivalry against us. So yes, it's a big division, but at the same time, it prepares you well for the playoffs.
Chris Letang right there answering the question. We were just talking to Sean Leahy about whether or not the Atlantic Division is the most difficult division to play in hockey, and especially in the Eastern Conference. And I mean, hit the nail on the head, because it prepares you for the playoffs. Odds are the Penguins are going to be playing one of these Atlantic Division opponents. Could very well be the Philadelphia Flyers. And if you don't have any kind of preparation for those kind of games, then you're going to be in trouble come the postseason. Now, talking about tomorrow night, I thought it was interesting to hear him say there's a bit of a shift in this mentality towards injuries in the NHL about, you know, playing through things or toughing it out for big games. You know, Chris Letang is saying that there's no interest in rushing things. Now, Sean, is this something that are you getting the sense that this is the attitude throughout the league? That the culture has kind of changed that way, that you got to get healthy, and that's paramount to everything else? Or is this something that the Pens are embracing a little bit more than the other 29 teams?
Yeah, I think a lot has to do, especially with head injuries and these concussions. And earlier this week at the GM's meetings, they said that the number of concussions has been about the same as last year, but the man games lost has been increasing because, like you said, we're slowly being educated about concussions and their effect and how long it takes you guys to come back from these different concussions, because each one is different, as we know. And I think that's a good thing, because you never want to rush a guy back, because a head injury is totally different than a leg injury or an arm injury or whatever, because this can really mess up a guy long-term, as we've seen with too many players in the past where they are rushed back. And like Eric Lindros, these guys suffer numerous concussions, and they're never the same again. So especially with these salaries these days, bringing guys back, especially star players, back too soon to risk them for the future, it's too big a risk for these teams. So I think it's great that teams are kind of taking the process very slowly, letting these guys come back on their own, letting them be symptom-free for an extended period of time, and really monitoring their progress very closely, so when they come back, they're 100%. I mean, you're never going to eliminate concussions from the game. It's just impossible just because of the speed and the physicality of it. But if we could best prepare these guys for when they come back to the game, you know, that's good for the health of the game, good for the health of the players long term.
Now, we were talking about comebacks and just talking about Chris Letang, but 87 will be making his comeback. It'll be the second time this season he's done that. What are you expecting to see, or what can we expect to see here for tomorrow night? Is it going to be something where, you know, Crosby rushing through the middle, beating defenders with his speed, and then sending a backhand up over the shoulder of a goaltender like he did back at the end of November? Or is it going to be a much more subdued comeback for Crosby this time?
You know, I don't know. I think, you know, we know Sid as well as we do as fans and observers that he's not really kind of a guy that to be hesitant about things. He's an aggressive player. He plays physical. So the fact that he's coming back shows that, you know, in his mind he's ready to play. He's ready to play the game that he plays on a normal basis. Is, you know, the physical, fast, up-tempo game. I think he's going to be flying out there. Travis is going to be probably maybe some nerves, a little bit of extra adrenaline as opposed to a normal game because it's his first game back in a while. So, you know, I hope we see him skipping through the neutral zone and dashing around the defender and going, you know, backhand shelf on a goalie like he did against the Islanders back in November. So hopefully we see that. Hopefully we see that, because then that's a good sign that, you know, he's back and comfortable in his own skin yet again, which is obviously going to be good for the Penguins, you know, going forward.
So the over-under on his line mates, Matt Cook, 4 points, over-under.
Well, considering the way Cook's played this year, he's been kind of an offensive dynamo at times. Yeah, I could see, I'll say push. I think he'll get exactly 4 points tomorrow night.
There it is.
Against Henrik Lundqvist, too.
That's a pretty
big accomplishment.
Against the guy we were just talking about, is possibly being in the MVP race. Matt Cook's going to get four points on him.
That's the thing. You never know with Crosby. I mean,
but still 0 points for Tyler Kennedy.
Yeah, 0 points for Kennedy, but 130 shots on net, all right into the crest of Lundqvist.
Yeah, that poor pane of glass behind Lundqvist is going to be shattered by the end of the night against Tyler Kennedy.
Oh, my goodness. So the goal is, I guess, with Bosma to ease Crosby in, and we saw that, like, that was the goal last time, too, whenever he played his first game back from concussion after 11 months. But that didn't last very long. We saw, like, he played 22 minutes, I think, in that first game back. Do you see the same thing happening this time around, or do you really see them protecting their star this time?
Yeah, I don't think they can really protect him with the minutes, because if he plays 5 minutes or if he plays 20 minutes, you can't, you know, you can't predict what kind of contact he's going to get. So you just got to play him like you normally play. Obviously, he's been practicing with the team for weeks now, and his conditioning, like you said last week, his conditioning is as good as it's going to get in practice. So now he's going to be back into, you know, getting back into slowly into game shape, which is probably not that far off for him. I think easing him into lines is good, because you don't want to break up those top two lines that they've been working the last few weeks, especially the Kunitz, Malkin, Neal line, which has been, you know, great all season. Putting one on that third line with Cook and Kennedy, obviously you get a little bit of protection, and you know, maybe he can limit his minutes a bit, or Bosman will just kind of see how things go. And as we've seen in the past, when the Pens need a goal, he hasn't been afraid to put Crosby and Malkin together. So maybe we see that tomorrow night, or maybe Bosman just gives him a few games to kind of get readjusted to things, and you know, he's kind of switching things up again.
Now, you kind of touch on practice, and we're talking about practice. We're not even talking about the game yet, but in practice lately, they've been putting Crosby on the point on the power play opposite of Chris Letang, and it's a little different from the look that we typically see. The same three guys on the first unit up front with Kunitz, Malkin, and Neal. But it seems like they're about to move Sullivan off of that point. What's your opinion on that? Like, a lot of Pens fans are pretty split on that. Like, do you sit on the point, or do you have him play the half wall? Like, what would you do, Sean, if you were coaching this team?
Be careful with your answer. If you value your life, there's some Pens fans who are frightening about this.
Considering we all suffered through the Mike Yeo years of running the power play, I think, and you know, the power play hasn't been terrible this year. I mean,
it's been great.
It's top 10. Yeah, it's been top 10 this year. And You know, getting Letang back is obviously going to be a good boost because it's been a little bit of a bumpy patch this year. But, you know, I'm all for kind of keeping things different because by making these changes by Bosman on the power play, you also have to keep in mind the opposing coach, and they're going to have to adjust their game plan to attack that kind of power play, and they're going to have to focus their penalty kill on different guys. So, you know, putting Crosby on the point, I've always been one I like my defenseman out on the point, but you want to put a guy like Crosby there to kind of create, and this Malkin and Kunitz there. You know what? I'd like to see it first before I kind of say yay or nay, but to me, just kind of hearing it, you know, I'm not against it. I'm not opposed to it, so I definitely like to see what it looks like, and hopefully they get a chance to do it tomorrow night.
Sean, at the end of the day, I mean, you know, no team in the salary cap era is perfect, and I think everybody kind of, you know, has their strengths and weaknesses, and, you know, we've gotten to the point where we see which teams have more of one than the other, but what would you consider the Pittsburgh Penguins' biggest weakness at this point? What is the one thing that prevents them from being the clear-cut favorite in the Eastern Conference?
Ah, man, that's a tough question because they're obviously they're set in goal. Fleury is, you know, good. Defense, I don't know. Can I know the trade deadline passed, can they somehow move Paul Martin? Although he's obviously played a little better of late, but with his salary, obviously, everything to go back to his salary and the fact that he's got another 3 years left on his contract. Niskanen's played pretty well since coming over. England's been a good little surprise there. And Orpik, Mihalik is, you know, he's a money shot blocker. It's tough. I think it's hard to say consistency because they've reeled off, what, an 8-game streak, and now they got this streak of late. So it's kind of hard to say what, you know, really pinpoint one through the efficiency. The power play is better this year. The penalty killing's always been strong. Honestly, I'm kind of stumped. I really am. I think even without Sid, I think they're definitely a cup favorite this year because really up and down the lineup, they've been very strong. And as long as, you know, James Neal can kind of get things going yet again, I know he's kind of had a history of having a second-half swoon. If he can get things going, they're firing off cylinders all up and down that lineup. So it's really kind of hard to pinpoint one big weakness that might, you know, withhold them from making the run east.
I think that you talked a little bit about Neal's second-half swoon there, and that's pretty much been something that's happened every year for him. And you see the pre-All-Star game numbers, and then you see the post-All-Star game numbers, and it's almost like you're inserting a completely different player in a lineup if you're just looking at the stats. And I wonder how much of just the grind of the 82-game regular season has to do with that. And it's a long season. You're bound to get some bumps and bruises, and you're bound to slow down a little bit throughout the year. But this guy trains with Gary Roberts, and there's no reason for that.
And, yeah, you're right. Anyone that trains with Gary Roberts should not be tired in the second half of the season. No way.
Not at all. But also, just the fact that Crosby's coming back will take a little bit of the pressure off that those top two lines to maybe this isn't the exact way I want to phrase this, but play as hard down this stretch. But because like he's going to take a little bit of that load and just kind of take some of that upon his shoulders, which will ease up a little bit of just the pressure that guys like Neal will face, and maybe he could find some rest in that or something to kind of spark his game again to feel a little bit refreshed going into the postseason. And that's kind of a hope, but maybe that's not entirely accurate, but it's kind of a little bit of a hope of mine.
No, it kind of makes sense because if once Crosby's back and if he's in the lineup on a regular basis and playing like the Sid we know, you know, he won't have that pressure. That top line won't all the pressure won't be on that top line to have to score the goal or provide the bulk of the offense. If Crosby's still on that third line or on the second line, you know, in a couple of games or so, you know, the pressure, obviously, the responsibility of the score obviously be spread out through the lineup, which would be a good thing. And like I said, hopefully for Neal, you know, he hasn't played with a Geno Malkin in his career down in Dallas. So hopefully the fact that he's got a strong player like him alongside of him will kind of help the help him score and put up some points in the second half for the first time in his career.
So assuming Crosby does stay healthy throughout the rest of the season and into the playoffs, going into those playoffs, obviously he's going to bump some people down on the order. Who sits in the playoffs as far as forwards go? You got guys like Vitaly playing out of his mind all season. No one expected him to make this team, but here he is, and he's looking great, and he looks like he could be a pretty nice playoff performer because he brings that grit and that tenacity that you love to see from that fourth line. And you got Ashton, who's a proven playoff performer, and he led the team with goals last year for crying out loud in the playoffs. Granted, a lot of players are out, but who would you sit?
Honestly, I'd sit Tyler Kennedy.
That's the right answer.
I'm the fact that Shiro gave him that much money in the offseason baffles me because he was an obvious case of a guy taking advantage of having more ice time due to all the injuries they had last year. And good on him. He took advantage of it, had a career-high 21 goals or whatever it was last year. He scored his goals. He did what he had to do. But given that
he
much money
paid.
For a guy who you – Yeah, he got yeah. paid, but you had to know once the team was healthy, he was going to slide back down the depth chart there. So, and obviously, it's showing this year. He's only stuck on 6 goals and 20 something points so far. So, I mean, I would sit him only because I think it'd be better for the lineup, but it might also give him a little kick in the butt where you know he's kind of gets that energy reinvigorated himself and maybe gets put back in the lineup again, you know, it'll kind of show a little bit more production and realize that, hey, just because you got a nice little new contract doesn't mean you're safe in this lineup. So that's who I would sit.
All right. We do have a question from a listener tonight for you, Sean. And this is something we've been asking everybody on the show this week, at least. So I just want to get your take on this too. What's your take on a Doritos Locos Taco?
Oh, I just had one tonight. It's the first time tonight. Let me tell you.
We're lucking out with this.
I've been wondering where it's been all my life.
It's
fantastic.
Delicious.
It really is. I don't know what took Taco Bell and Doritos so long to come up with this idea, but it should have come many, many years ago, but I'm glad it did. It's absolutely the best.
All right. Our listener will definitely appreciate that. That's for Come Wicked, at Come Wicked on Twitter. So. He was really dying to know that, so. You never know what you're going to get, Sean. You never know what
you're
going to get.
The Taco Bell drive-thru is open until like 2 a.m., so he's got about 3-4 hours to grab one.
Well, if we haven't convinced him, we talked about it Monday night on the show, and Josh Yoey from the Trib talked about it last night and talked it up, and now you talked it up. If he hasn't tried it out by now, I don't know what's really going to get this guy to go try it, honestly.
Exactly.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, Sean, you have, and I don't know if you're allowed to say necessarily yes or no, but you have some loyalties and ties to Pittsburgh, correct?
Oh, yeah. I don't mind saying I'm a pensioner. Greg and I are very open with our fandom. Mm-hmm. And we do our very best to, you know, stay objective on the blog when we're writing about it. And actually, you know, each of us, we try not to write about our team, him, the Devils, myself, the Penguins, if we can, just because, you know, we have to cover all 30 teams. So we don't want to obviously focus on just our favorite team in general. So it's good to kind of check out the other 29 teams and, you know, kind of get deep into that information there and learn about those teams and the players there. So. But, yes, I've been a long-time Penguins fan, for sure.
Good. I'm glad you brought up Greg, and we're talking about Greg Wyshynski here. Could you tell us why does he hate Penguin fans and Penguins so much?
I could tell you firsthand he does not hate the Penguins. And I find this with all fan bases. It seems like whenever someone on the blog or any writer – you know, write something negative about a player or a team, they're deemed, oh, you hate insert team here. And, you know, maybe there's some situations where he's written about the Penguins and it hasn't been, you know, completely positive, but that doesn't mean he has an anti-Penguins bias. So, sure, he's a Devils fan. And obviously, there's years of Patrick Division hate built up. But he doesn't, and we never take our fan hatred of other teams into our writing. We don't let that affect our writing because we don't want to be known as those type of writers. You know, sure, I'm a Penguins fan, and I'm in the arena. I hate the Flyers, but you know, I'm not going to let that come through in my writing. I want to be fair and objective about the Flyers or any team or any player there I write about. So I could definitely tell you guys that Greg Wyshynski, as much as he's a big Devils fan and full of Jersey snark, he's not fist pumping right now. Exactly. He's got his hair gel on and everything. But he's not a Penguins hater.
This is all Alexei Morozov's fault.
I know. There's all, you know, lighting up Mario all those years, I guess it's taken a beating on his head.
Yeah, well, Sean, speaking of Mario, we saw a very nice statue unveiled here at Consol Energy Center by the Trib Total Media Gate, and I was wondering what your thoughts of it were, and what was your favorite Mario Lemieux moment? I know there's a ton of them, but can you put your finger on one?
Yeah, I was there for the ceremony last weekend, and it was great. To me, this statue is a little clunky, just having those two defensemen/Islanders there. I would have just had it just Mario alone, whether it's that pose that they used from that game, I guess it was 1988. To me, I would have chosen either one of two things, either his goal against the North Stars, obviously, in the Cup in 91, or just him holding up the Stanley Cup right there outside the arena. It should be just Mario, nobody else. But as far as favorite moment, I think, that Mario Lemieux goal in 91 is probably my all-time favorite, just because the play itself. I think Phil Bork was actually the guy that gave him the pass that sent him on his way. But also, if you listen to not only Mike Lang's call is obviously great, but if you listen to the call on CBC by Bob Cole, you just hear him kind of in amazement of what's going on as he's calling the play. And he just loves it, and it's just a great moment. Obviously, you know, seeing Mario Selby as well as the Civic Arena just going insane at that moment. That would definitely be my number one. I know it's a very popular one, so I'll definitely join the crowd on that.
And today, March 14th, 2012, it actually happens to be the fifth anniversary of the announcement of the new arena deal being in place. And anyone who's been following the Penguins long enough and to have gone all the way through that knows what a relief it was on that day. Do you remember there, what you were experiencing or what you were feeling that day? And did you think that deal was ever going to get done, or do you think that the Penguins leaving Pittsburgh was imminent?
You know, it's pretty crazy. You know, living out here in New York, it's, you know, I'm not in Pittsburgh, so I didn't get a real feel for the city. Just kind of being in the city, listening to all the local radio, I was just kind of following everything on the internet through the Post Gazette and the Trib, like, you know, a lot of people that were out of town are. I always thought deep in my heart that they would get a deal done, no matter what, just because one, for I know the team means a lot to that city. Two, they had Sidney Crosby. You knew, you know, as Penn says, we knew the next couple of years are going to be very special. Shiro is building a very strong team. There's only a matter of time before they're going to find themselves back in this Stanley Cup final, as well as win one, which, you know, we know they did a few years later. And three, it was Mario Lemieux, you know, leading this deal. There's no way that any politician in Pittsburgh is going to say no to Mario Lemieux and be known as the guy that let the Penguins leave town. Nobody wanted to get, you know, be that person. So deep down in my heart, I knew eventually a deal would get done. And obviously, as you know, it came down pretty late in the proceedings. So obviously glad things got done, because the new arena is very, very big, but very beautiful, and especially compared to what's across the street right now.
Well, Sean, really, thank you for coming on tonight. Before you leave, though, quick score prediction for tomorrow night's game in New York.
Tomorrow, let me see. Penn's Rangers. Penn's struggle. I will say, I'll go with the homer pick. I say the Penns win 3-2 in a shootout.
3-2 in a shootout. There you have it.
I'll say Sid gets. He only gets 1 point. He'll get an assist on a Geno goal.
There it is. There it is, Sean Leahy from the Puck Daddy blog. Sean, we got to do this again sometime. Feel free to come on anytime, man.
Absolutely, guys. Just let me know.
All right.
Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, Sean.
Take care, guys.
See ya.
I still think Wyszynski hates us.
We need to have him come on.
Yeah, really. Have him defend his position on his own here. But no, really, thanks to Sean Leahy and Puck Daddy. He is a great read. No matter if it's I like Wyszynski's postings too.
Yeah.
A lot, actually. It's always a lot of fun and informative and a great source for getting information around the league, not just one team centric. And really the game itself, because there's lots of crazy stuff going on there in Europe that you would never know anything about unless Puck Daddy picked it up.
Yeah, like Thomas Cerovi whacking his goalie in the face.
Like Tom Cerovi in that play. And after a conversation last night about Steve McIntyre, too, I came across Eric Karns going absolutely ape over in Europe during the 2004-2005 lockout year. It's worth it to look it up. Eric Karns in 2005 losing his mind and losing his marbles.
bananas.
It makes Steve McIntyre look like he's running the asylum.
He might be. I mean, after all, that's why Shiro chose him over Nick Johnson, right?
Back.
That was a good move, right?
Yeah.
That was nice timing. I appreciate that.
No, that was a good move. Bringing in, never mind. I like Mike Yeo. But he got off to a good start with Minnesota, but they've really trailed off the late end of this year.
Yeah, they've really hit a pretty cool stretch there, huh?
Yeah, it's funny how you can go from being a Jack Adams candidate to being potentially on the hot seat in just a couple months. They're only 9 points ahead of the Edmonton Oilers right now.
Man.
Alex, there's no scale to weigh them against the Columbus Blue Jackets, though.
There's no scale to weigh anyone against the Columbus Blue Jackets.
They're only 9 points ahead of the second worst team in the NHL, but they're 17 points ahead of the worst team in the NHL.
They are 16 points behind the worst team in the Eastern Conference.
Wow.
Amazing.
It's so amazing.
It's amazing. Oh, my God.
Sucks so much.
They started off so hot. Their first 20 games of the year in Minnesota were so promising. And then for them to trail off this drastically, that's pretty stark, man.
You know who else sucks again?
We suck again.
Bruce Boudreau and the Anaheim Ducks.
Man, I was really pulling for him, too. They were so hot. They were like Hanzo hot.
What? Rodriguez Loco is hot.
that Hanzo is so hot right now.
Yeah, they were only like 2 points out of the playoffs of that Western race, but now they're on the outside looking in. And
you know why?
No way they're getting anything else.
You know why?
Why?
Because
the Sharks.
The Sharks are actually terrible right now. Bruce Boudreau discovered In-N-Out Burger.
That's kind of the way he usually describes his job security these days.
Not Dale Hunter.
Jesus, man. And then there are four teams tied for that eighth seed in the West. That's going to be a close call, much, much closer than what's going on in the Eastern Conference right now, where I mean, that eighth spot is still up for grab, but the top seven are looking pretty much like we know what that's going to be going into the playoffs. Ottawa could still trail off, but who knows?
Do you, out west, do you think the Sharks are going to make it?
No, I don't.
No, I don't either. Maybe that's the thing that gets them over the hump going from here on out, because they've always been a team that's kind of went deep into the playoffs, but right now it's looking pretty bleak.
Or maybe they need to acquire a defibrillator machine at the trade deadline because he's choking every time they get in the postseason.
Maybe they need Jack Johnson.
Doing some good. I see Colorado taking that final spot. I mean, they've got lots of young talent, people who are grabbing things right now. Landeskog, I mean, watch the highlights tonight.
Yeah.
The goal he scored.
Good Lord.
And the play he's made. Landeskog is on fire right now.
Dirty, dirty, dirty.
dirty. Clean that mouth out with soap. Mm. So, speaking of dirty, the Pens Nation ladies night tomorrow night. Thursday. For Joe Tapto, Nick Richter, and Andy Hughes, this is Ken Will. Thanks again to Sean Leahy. You've been listening to the Pens Nation Radio Show.
Unbelievable.
Dance shark, man.
He just does whatever he wants.
Is he our new mascot?
That's what sharks do.
I like my favorite. It's a woman 38-second clip. We only ever play that much of it.
Oh yeah, that's the only part you really need.
See if you do. See, you killed it there. You lose the effect.
Yeah, the whole it's pretty bad.
Ridiculous.
That's really good having Sean on tonight, man.
No, it really wasn't.
I love having national exposure guys that are Penn fans come on the show, and it's really cool to see. You don't see a lot of that. Like, you see a lot of Penn haters, but you don't see a lot of Penn fans on the national scene outside of Sean Leahy.
No, but I think Andy's right that we need to get someone like Wyshynski or someone who is a legit enemy of the Penguins, like Jeremy Roenick.
Oh my!
He blocked all of us.
There's no way. Yeah, there's no way he's. I mean, I would love it.
I bet you I can make it happen.
He hasn't blocked me yet, so
where's your magic?
I can reach out and
your Jedi mind tricks. You have pens in your name.
I can say that people hate
block
you. Well, that's true. I could play the angle that I'm. My Twitter handle has Pens in the name, but all Pens fans hate me. So maybe we can bond over that.
Maybe.
That's actually a good point. Hey, we learned last night that apparently Josh Yoey is a big Flyers fan.
You're not alone. I think you've converted him.
Oh, okay. Well, me and Yoey are going to get season tickets and move out east.
Move out east. You're already out east.
Well, you know what I meant. Move.
You were in Montana for ever. How far east do you want to go? Jeez.
Philadelphia, apparently.
I get to Philly.
Well, we were just talking about Roenick, and you know, Roenick at one time was a San Jose Shark. It's a little delayed.
A shark reference.
At one time, he was an asshole too. Oh, wait, he still is.
Man,
I love how every show Depto takes us from the PG rating straight to rated R.
No. First off, I said asshole. I didn't drop the F-bomb like another panel member here the other night.
Yeah, we said the PG rating to the PG-13. I'm the one who takes us to R.
All right, I misunderstood that. My fault. Ken, do you want to take us to that point now, or are you just gonna hold off for a couple more minutes?
Hi, this is Doc Emrick. Tell your mom hi.
Hi. It's such a delayed, staggered response.
Hi. Tomorrow, Ken Will is coming to Wheeling. The Ken Will Experience.
Be in Wheeling.
Have already started. So.
I'm still working on those papers so that I can actually get there tomorrow.
He's
going to get the Wheeling feeling.
The Wheeling feeling. He's not going to leave.
Wheeling feeling.
It's like a black hole here.
Ugh, you're not kidding.
It really is.
I hate this city. It's funny because you drive on I-70 and you pass Wheeling and you look to your left and you're like, oh yeah, look, the impressive Wheeling skyline. And then you realize.
That's just Mount Shawano.
Not only is it not impressive, but also 90% of the buildings that you are seeing from the interstate are abandoned and haven't been used since 1985.
Completely abandoned. There's homeless people living in them.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Moondog is bread.
Paint huffer.
You know Baby about D. the pain huffer.
Yeah, you've talked about him.
Pain
on the show.
And Baby D.
D'Lo Brown was on. He was in Wheeling.
Wheeling.
D'Lo Brown texted Dan Clayton one night.
Mark Henry, too. Mark Henry made an interesting observation about his bodily functions.
That's what happens when those guys go to Nailer games.
Happens in Wheeling, stays in Wheeling.
So we've got two trumpets. We got a mellophone. We got Depto with his half stack for Friday night.
And we got another trumpet?
Yeah, you've got a trumpet. I've got a trumpet.
Oh, you want me to bring you want me to bring my trumpet?
Yeah.
Wait, is that what I'm supposed to do?
Bring it. Bring a bass drum, too.
Oh, yeah, sure.
We'll get a seat for it.
I'll bring one of those horns I have.
You have a horn? A Viking horn, or is it like a French horn?
Just a horn.
Andy has a Shark Tank.
English horn?
We have to bring that clip tomorrow and hook it up to an amplifier.
We're playing while we enter the arena.
What would you like for? What would you like to order?
Doritos Locos Tacos.
I heard it, and then I heard it actually speak 5 seconds later.
What sound is your stomach going to make after you eat the Doritos tacos? You're supposed to play the shark clip. You're supposed to play the shark clip. There you go. Attaboy. Yep. All right, this was fun.
Yep. All right, y'all. Well, yeah, thank you. So tomorrow, hat-tricks?
Hat-tricks tomorrow, 6 o'clock. Then,
if you're listening to this, you can come down and party with the Penn Nation.
Yeah, see you there.
See you guys there.
Invite Sean Ryan.
Will he be there tomorrow? I don't know. He may be in Kentucky with the NCAA Division II basketball stuff, but we could send an invite out.
Well, he was talking about the Nailers tonight.
Yeah, he was. They were in Chicago tonight, so they had a game, and I wasn't home, so they played out Midwest today, and we'll be in Wheeling tomorrow morning if their bus doesn't break down. Tends to do that a lot.
Yeah.
It's because it runs on Doritos Los Tacos. Locos Tacos.
Locos. Indeed. Well, see you at 6 o'clock tomorrow.
All right. Andy? See your mom later.
Right. Thanks for downloading.